101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the tag team of Andrew Fish Fane, Joe DeFalco, and your host, Mark Hoke.
Oh, yeah. Let's do this. It is another Sunday.
It's a six-man tag team.
Yeah, it is. In trios.
We can win the Impact six-man belt.
Yeah.
I think that's the only company that has a six-man belt.
All right.
Joe, I severed it for the pictures.
Oh, that was Joe.
Joe!
All right. We got it. And by the way, I just to say, I am so excited to see the sexiest man in radio, Mike Jones, in there, in the booth.
Who? Not, Mike Tenay?
No.
He's the sexiest man in wrestling.
I don't. Could Mike Tenay run a board?
He might have ran the board when he did the radio wrestling.
That's true. That's true.
You know, he wasn't a big star. He wasn't better than everybody like he is now.
Wow. Oh, the train tracks just keep on rolling, man. Joe just runs them over. It's unbelievable. Hey, well, thanks for being with us. We're here on the Mark Hoke Show, the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas and
the world.
Yeah. We're working on planetary domination.
Oh, absolutely.
You're not there yet. But we'll
get there.
We're trying. I'm your host, Mark Hoke. Thanks for being with us. We've got this other crazy son of a gun sitting across from me, Andrew Fish Fane. What's going on? Of course, co-host of on Mondays of SportsX Radio here on KDWN.
That is right. And here I am again.
Yes, he is.
On a Sunday morning, bright and early.
Yeah. Yeah, you look perky.
I am perky. Thank you. And Joe is back.
And Joe DeFalco is back joining us. We are very happy to have Joe back on the air. Joe,
the voice of reason.
Really?
Well, I heard the ratings plummeted without me last week, so I didn't want to knock off the air.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, I'm going to be in and out. I'm gutting my mom's house as we speak, so it's like, but it's really nice. It's actually like 70 degrees here up in New York, upstate.
Wow, there you go.
That is nice for this time of year.
It rained like every other day, soaking wet. We got the 30-yard dumpster that's like three quarters full, and just the attic alone was half of it.
Oh, good Lord.
So, yeah.
I'm very sorry, but and our condolences to you, Joe.
Absolutely.
Hope you and your family are doing well. So, all right. Boyd, you know, every time we think we might get to talk about normal stuff, it never, ever happens.
No, big news breaks changes everything.
This is unreal. Talked about a little bit last night with James Samuel on the special Saturday edition, but I, of course, want to give you guys a shot at this. As Ring of Honor, who at one point was probably the second biggest promotion in the United States.
I'd like to think so.
And no doubt. They were number two for a long time because they had the live audience that Impact never had.
Yep. And now has ceased operations. This hit, at least for now, this hit on Thursday.
Well, they don't do it until after the December pay-per-view, but yeah.
Yeah, I should say ceasing operations.
So, of course, you know, I got inside info because we were supposed to have Jay Lethal doing a seminar.
Yeah, well, so, yeah, and well, let me set this up, and then I'm going to let you dive into all this because I got a lot of questions for you on it. So a message went out from ROH on the 27th saying throughout the pandemic, our top priority was to keep everyone healthy and safe. And despite not producing any live events over 18 months, we were able to keep everyone fully contracted. We now find ourselves at a time where we need to make changes to our business operations and are planning a pivot for Ring of Honor with a new mission and strategy. The year will culminate with a final battle, which is one of the pay-per-views they do, in December. And we will be taking the first quarter of 2022 to work internally to reimagine ROH. ROH has the most dedicated fans in the industry, and we appreciate their loyalty and patience as we reconceptualize ROH. We anticipate returning to live events in April for the Supercard of Honor with a new fan-focused product and provide a unique experience for wrestling fans. So, of course, the internet blows up. I can tell you that from what I just from what I've seen on Twitter, everybody is putting up all their booking information. Saw Dalton Castle already got a gig up in Portland and sold out the place. I don't know if it's a big venue or not. I doubt it, but
There was a big interview with Silas Young talking about how he loved the fact that Ring of Honor was able to take care of all their people during the pandemic, and now he's looking forward to being a free agent and seeing what he can do and where he can go.
Yeah. Joe Koff, I actually was emailing back and forth. He had already agreed to do one interview with PWI Insider, so I couldn't get him on the show, but they're apparently planning to bring this thing back after this is over. So now, Joe, as someone who runs an independent promotion, who is probably hearing from a ton of these people that have now, at least for the moment, have lost their jobs, what's going on?
Well, we had a seminar. The thing goes in and out. So you guys hear?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Now we lost you, Joe.
Yeah, I might have to stay in one spot for a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, you sound great now. Don't
move.
You
can hear me now?
Yeah, don't perfect.
Okay. So, I posted a seminar on Thursday, and he actually sent me a message probably Tuesday or Wednesday, and he was like, hey, bro, I can do the show if you want on the 30th. And I'm like, okay, well, it's a small Halloween show. I wouldn't be able to do that in the future, maybe. I'd love to have him. And I'm like, well, is that good for, all the dates? And he said, yeah. And then, within, 6 hours, that's when it all came out. And then I talked to him on the phone. He ended up canceling his trip. And he was concerned. He was like, yeah, I'm like, well, don't you get paid till, March of next year? He's like, no, my contract expires. So, and I'm like, dude, you're Jay Lethal. You're going to be getting bookings everywhere. I'm thinking Jay Lethal is going to do better than he did with Ring of Honor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think acts like him, I think the Briscoes will not have any issues, but I think there's going to be obviously smaller people that are going to have some trouble finding work, and even if they do find work, it's going to be fewer and far between, right?
Well, the guys will get booked, but, they're going to have to probably for less than what they, are wanting to work for. But it's definitely going to be more than before they signed with Ring of Honor. The thing with Ring of Honor is they only had, a taping here, a taping there. So those guys were still locked in, like Kenny King, Those guys had exclusive contracts. You couldn't wrestle anywhere else. Kenny could just wrestle with us. So now I'm pretty sure Kenny's going to be knocking down the door because I haven't talked since I've been out here, and Kenny King is probably going to work almost all our shows now. You know what I mean? It's like he's available. He's, he was in and out of training, a lot of other work. So, it's great for me. It may not be great for some of those, tweener type wrestlers because people want to have, I'd love to have Jay Lethal. I'd be the first one that has Jay Lethal on our show. So, well, if I book Jay Lethal and I book Bandito and I book, the Briscoes, well, who am I not?
Right.
And those guys are going to lose bookings. There's no doubt about it. But the wealth for indie wrestling is going to be great. GCW, I already saw, has Bandito at a show, I think, this weekend.
Now, do any of these ROH guys or former ROH guys, do you see them, any of the big three, picking any of them up, or are they not going to touch any? It's an AEW Impact and WWE not going to touch any of these guys.
Oh, they definitely will. NXT is kind of rebranding. There's a lot of younger talent in there. The Riches and the Banditos and the Ray Horaces, they've been working around everywhere, and they wrestle in Mexico frequently. A lot of those guys, I saw Brody King, he was still doing PWG. He just got booked for something out in California, and that's what's going to happen. All those guys that, are on a regular basis. Now you got some of those younger up-and-coming guys like Dak Draper, who was like their prospect champion and stuff. Well, it's going to be a little harder for him, you know, because, you know, he moved. You know, he was a Colorado guy when he worked with us, and he moved to, you know, Maryland to be part of the dojo. So if everything's closing up, well, I guess he's got to live there, or he's going to, you know, go back. There's just a lot of chaos. But the bottom line is they're still going to get paid till at least December 31st. So there's no sweat. They don't get any work for 3-4 months. And if they're contracted past that, I believe March 2022 is when they're stopped paying everybody.
That is correct.
Yeah, and then April, which is, I believe they do it on WrestleMania weekend, is when they have their supercard for ROH. Well,
yeah, they're booked. They are right now set up that they are planning to do that first return card WrestleMania weekend in Dallas.
And, you know, and the thing is, what they may lose after March, now they're doubled up. They can load up from now until March on their bookings because they're still getting paid.
Right.
Because, and a guy like, you know, Kenny King couldn't take other bookings anyway. So if he gets 10 bookings in 4 months, he's making 10 times what he would have made.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a great question. So, while it sounds on the outside like a bad thing, for a lot of these guys, it may not be.
Right.
Well, one thing that I'm really curious about is how many of these guys are going to actually go to WWE or AEW,
or not come back.
If they're, you know, if ROH is definitely going to follow through and, you know, restart operations, you know, do you just wait it out?
Well, they're claiming they're going to go the indie route, like GCW, and not contract people. So that's the million-dollar question. You know, GCW has basically taken them over because they did run during the pandemic. And GCW is a hotter company on the East Coast than Ring of Honor is because they're consistently running. Now Ring of Honor is going to come back, and now they're going to be the stepchild for GCW.
Well, and that's the other trick that I think Ring of Honor is going to have here, too, is, you know, Joe Koff, in that interview that he did with PW Insider, you know, said that, you know, when we had a chance to really step things up in 2018, we didn't do it. You know, and they've, you know, they basically had this AEW roster right in front of them. They had the New Japan guys coming in, they had the AAA guys coming in. You know, it was...
You know, yeah, so, it's amazing how the mighty have fallen. Like I said, you know, Sam's Town would be sold out. Both front row was 80, 90 bucks, and second row was like 70, and third row was 60. And they were sold out to the gills. It was like, you know, FSW company, and it generally was, except for 2 days a year when Ring of Honor came to town, you know. And as the years progressed, and in the last couple of years, you know, our Mecca shows easily out for Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and then in terms of the personnel here, you know, how many of these guys are really going to have a legit shot to get signed by AEW or WWE? And Impact's obviously out there too, but you start running down this list.
I mean, like the Briscoes and Jay Lethal obviously have that shot. Lethal's already been in through Impact, so I don't know if he'll go back. I don't know what his relationship was like.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Lethal went back to Impact. It's kind of like you did that trick already.
Yeah.
You know? But the Briscoes,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, but if they're going to offer a full-time contract, these guys are going to go back. You know, Jay Lethal, there's a whole different regime in place at Impact. And Impact's been the company that's been signing a lot of people. They went and, you know, they're trying to sign Strowman. They're trying to sign, you know, Bray Wyatt. Now, whether they can afford it or not, because how much can you pay a guy to do 3 shows a month?
No, that's very true.
Yeah, and with WWE saying, oh, you know, we only want a certain type of wrestler coming in from now on, well, that eliminates a lot of these guys, a lot of them.
What kind of pop would it be if the Young Bucks are out there and all of a sudden the Briscoes jump them? Are you kidding?
Oh, you know, see, that's the kind of thing that would be amazing. I don't know if Tony Khan is going to do that because, there's still so many other free agents out there that they still want to sign, and you just named them, Strowman and Wyndham Rotunda, Bray Wyatt, whoever you want to call them.
But the thing with AEW and Impact, you know, they do things in advance. There's spoilers, there's things like that. With AEW, we've seen already that they like to surprise. They like to, you know, kayfabe things like back in the old days. And they can do that, you know, especially when they're running Florida, East Coast. You know, Nick Gage got a pop when he got out there. You know what I mean? It was like that AEW crowd is like a mixture of those WWE leftovers, but it's that super Ring of Honor, New Japan type of fan base. So they're going to go originally the Ring of Honor fan base. So all those guys, if they knew who the Young Bucks were and Adam Page and all these guys, that means they were Ring of Honor fans who fell off because Ring of Honor wasn't as good anymore. So now they may go to that, and then all of a sudden you got the Briscoes and a Jay Lethal. Like, who can't Jay Lethal compete with in AEW? Like, I'd love to see Jay Lethal and Bryan Danielson.
Does this kind of talent influx that could happen to AEW that was unexpected, could that be something that concerns McMahon? Because you're right, they're not going to sign a lot of these people, and if AEW does, that's getting a leg up because you're right, a Jay Lethal, Bryan Danielson match would be amazing.
Yeah, and the difference is WWE, you're going there. AEW, you're getting good money, probably a little bit less here and there because there's not as many shows. But you're getting to do what you enjoy and what you want to do. Guys who, you know, like being that second quarterback and holding the clipboard and get paid, you know, $1 million to just sit there and watch the starter. While there's other people, like in Austin Aries, who don't want to sit home and just take the money. They want to wrestle.
You know,
so if you want to do that, you know, AEW is the spot. You know, and NXT is generally the spot. You know, so I can't see WWE not signing half a dozen to a dozen of those guys.
Yeah, plus, you know, and I mentioned this last night, too, that it, you know, you almost have a chance to really knock Ring of Honor out and really put them behind the eight ball if those two companies go and just raid their talent. You know, you wipe out a lot of their top guys. Well, then now you've got to start from scratch.
I mean, WWE, I heard it wiped out a lot of ROH's top talent years ago when they took Tyler Black,
right,
and now Seth Rollins, or they took Daniel Bryan. And
they did it unmaliciously like they did to the AWA, which was just totally to kill Vern Gagne. But you know, if you look over the history of wrestling over the past 10 years or so, if it wasn't for those guys coming out of Ring of Honor, where would we be right now?
No, you're absolutely.
So, you know, but there's two guys that I want to ask you gentlemen about and get your thoughts. And the first one is not a wrestler. Ian Riccaboni, the announcer. Now, he and Caprice Coleman are great. Ian Riccaboni is someone that, you know, honestly, right now, if you're telling me I got to listen to one guy, I'd probably pick him.
Well, I know he's just an announcer, not a ring announcer, but with Greg Hamilton getting fired from SmackDown, does that move things around with the WWE so they can open a spot for him?
Maybe. I don't know. But Ian Riccaboni is a name that I think, if he was, say, put on the board with Excalibur and the rest of the announce team, boy, that would be.
But it becomes too, if you're just adding him to it, that becomes, there's already too many announcers in AEW. No, I don't need another one added.
I'm clearing the deck for Riccaboni. I'm clearing the deck.
Like I said, the company that's under the radar, but they run tons of show, Fight TV, indie background. You know, Kevin Gill does a lot of the stuff, but they kind of rotate like Joey Janela and a whole bunch of other people. You know, I could see him being at GCW at any time because that Ring of Honor fan base that, you know, paid attention to Ring of Honor, that watched GCW, as we saw when the Briscoes showed up at GCW, that, you know, he's a perfect fit for them.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that does too. But the guy that intrigues me the most and has always been one of my favorites in Ring of Honor is Dalton Castle. For those that have never seen Dalton Castle, this guy is one of the funniest, adaptable guys that you could possibly get, in my opinion. If you haven't seen him with the boys, go and get on your inner tube and check everything out.
Inner tube?
Yeah, internet and YouTube. I combined.
To me, he got the 3MB treatment over the last couple of years. He was the hottest act the Ring of Honor. Oh, and then the next time they came to Vegas, he was just a bum.
Wow.
You know, I can't say it any other way. Like,
that's a great reference.
How the mighty have fallen. Like, they weren't doing anything. It was just like, well, and he was just a bland act.
No, that's a fantastic analogy, the 3MB reference, by the way. I got to give you props there.
Yeah. And he had some injury issues, obviously, which kind of derailed his world title
run. Yes, he did, which, yeah, that shortened his title reign. But when he came back, it was kind of like Finn Balor. It was like, oh, what do we do with you? And you're gone for so long, other things have happened. That all of a sudden Dalton Castle didn't have that spot on top of the card after they built him up for so long to where, you know, the crowd wanted him to be the champ, you know?
Yeah, he's a fascinating person that, you know, if there's one guy in there that could fit into a little more campier style, sports entertainment style, I think Dalton Castle's it, and I'm going to be interested to see where he ends up. I think the Briscoes are going to head to AEW. I don't think there's any question about that. Jay Lethal can fit in anywhere, you know. But then you got a lot of other guys that have possibilities. So we'll see how this all turns out. But
you know, if Jay Lethal pops up on Monday Night Raw, he's going to get a huge reaction.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm amazed. You know, I mean, somebody's got to grab him.
But say, and if he does, and the funny thing is, if he does go to WWE, Monday Night Raw would be the place to put him because he's not a SmackDown type guy. In other words, he's not big enough for Fox, but he is big enough for the wrestling community, so he would fit perfectly in the Raw roster versus the SmackDown roster, which has to be a little more showy because they're on Fox.
Yeah, I got to lock in him some dates, so if he does sign with AEW, at least I can get him. If it's WWE, they're going to be like, yep, you better cancel it, so...
Well, there you go.
And I know you weren't there last night, but I do want to quickly talk about your show last night. How did it go? How was everything there, at least from what you've heard?
I heard really, really good things. I watched a little bit on the network, and actually I walked in on the Gimmick Battle Royal. We had The Godfather. We had Shane McMahon, Vince McMahon. We had all the big guns. Even Minoru Suzuki was in the house. So, you know, available on the FSW network. We had a big tag team match, Tokuuso, which features Lita, who actually just appeared on AEW Dark. Definitely a guy who has a very bright future. And he's another one that we're going to say, trained at Rikishi School, Knox Pro, that he's already on PR. He's got a lot. He's not experienced at all. He's only got a couple of years in the business, but he's got all the attributes. So looking forward to watching him. You know, he's a guy, when we're talking about who's going to be a future champion and who's a guy who can maybe take the belt off Hammerstone, Toa's that guy.
And former FSW superstar made his debut on NXT this past Tuesday. Sorry, it was not Wednesdays anymore, it was Tuesday.
What a great match, too, wasn't it? That was unbelievable.
Oh, absolutely. I was just going to ask. And I didn't realize how much he looked like his brothers until I saw him wrestle.
I saw a picture recently, and I'm like, I couldn't tell which one it was. And it was like they could easily bump the DUI guy and slid him right in.
Ooh.
Same name. It would have been Jimmy and Jay.
It would have looked like it, yes.
A Nuso Uso.
Yeah, there you go. It's sort of like they could do the whole Dave and Earl Hebner thing.
Oh, my God. I never thought of that. That's pretty darn funny.
But you know what? It's great. Zoe Stark lost the tag belt. So, you know, it shows how much they liked her. You know, she was in a makeshift tag team that they let hold the belt for 3 months.
Absolutely. I mean, they had to give it to the Toxic, whatever their last name is.
Yeah, it had to be. And then maybe with all the turmoil, Charlotte Flair and everything going on in the women's division, maybe Zoe gets that quick call to the main roster.
Maybe. All right, guys. We're down to 1 minute here.
Okay.
So, I got to cut in on the show. You guys are just, did you miss each other?
I did. I missed Joe terribly.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because I got a bell before the breaks, when the break happens. So.
All right.
Well,
Joe, hey, we wish you all the best. Good luck, and you're coming home this week. Was that the plan?
Yeah, I'll be back in Vegas Wednesday, so we have another show Saturday. But good to go. I'll be good to go after that.
Awesome. Right. You just take care of yourself. Take care of everything, and again, our condolences. Thank you, Joe.
All right, thanks. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Joe DeFalco there joining us, and we certainly appreciate his insight. And just waiting for the music to start here, and we'll. wrap this up for the first half hour?
Second half hour, I guess we're going to get into what happened Raw, SmackDown, Thunder.
Thunder.
Freudian slip
Thunder.
There.
Wow. Oh, my God. Main event?
Yeah.
Heat All-Star jacked. Wrestling. Oh, my God. Hey, we will be right back here on the Mark Hoke Show. Thank you for joining us. Stick around for more.
...1015 FM, 720 AM, KDON, the talk of Las Vegas. Now, let's return to the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
Ho-ho!
The Hoke.
The Hoke. Ho! By the way, there's a reason I'm throwing the hoe in again. No, there's a reason I'm doing it.
I know, but I'm trying to make it Hoke.
I was trying to recognize
Hacksaw
Jim Duggan. Actually, two wrestling personalities.
Hulk Hogan. I mean, there's a lot of injury news about that I've been seeing, and it's like, why all of a sudden the Hulk Hogan interest?
That I don't know. I didn't catch that.
But, Brooke, because I guess
I saw the interview with Brooke.
Yeah, and she came up with a big thing about he's had like 173 million surgeries.
Yeah, but Hacksaw Jim Duggan was admitted to the hospital last week. An emergency, and they
pulled the 2x4 out.
He has prostate cancer.
Ooh.
So he had emergency surgery on that, but apparently he's doing okay.
Good, good, good.
But also Jim Ross,
that's the one
showed that he has some skin cancer that came back. I think it was on his ankle. So Jim Ross is going to be dealing with a cancer issue too. So we want to wish
both of them,
the Hacksaw and Jim Ross, all the best.
But
cancer sucks.
I will say this though. Hacksaw Jim Duggan was one of those wrestling personalities that were amazing in the time that they were wrestling in, but would not be able to be in the business today.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim, you know, and it was funny because I remember Jim from the Mid-South days before he came to WWE. And boy, I'll tell you, Duggan was so over when he came to WWE. Never quite got that final push, but then, of course, he had that little incident with the Iron Sheik.
Yeah, but I mean, he never won a belt, did he?
No, and he probably would have been on his way if it wouldn't have been
for the Iron Sheik drug thing.
Because back then, you know, you weren't really supposed to be even traveling with these guys. You never, you know, the bad guys never got seen with the good guys.
Absolutely,
they were feuding at the time.
Kayfabe was. I mean, that's why we have Stone Cold Steve Austin, because of the whole click situation, the final curtain call, which led to Triple H not winning the King of the Ring, which led to Steve Austin winning it, which led to him becoming Stone Cold. I mean, it's amazing how it changed the entire history of wrestling.
Yeah, but you know, here's a little piece of advice for the youngsters. If you don't know,
don't do drugs.
Don't have a ton of drugs in the car, and especially when you're in a feud with somebody and you're driving. Let's try to avoid that one.
Yeah, don't feud with an Iranian.
Yeah, but like I said, I love Jim Duggan and there you go. And we want to wish him and
I think
Jim.
I just woke up half of the city.
Oh, I could do even better.
I know. No,
you know okay. I can.
Yeah. Let's just leave it. And we'll leave it to everyone's imagination.
All right.
How you ho?
I haven't been hoeing much lately. Anyway, I wanted to hit this story about Cesaro. There's two Cesaro stories.
The one I heard is that he's wrestling in Europe against Walter, correct?
That is the first one.
Which I think is going to be an amazing match.
Not being televised. They're doing a
UK
ridiculous.
Tour.
And, you know, of course, Walter had those unbelievable matches with Dragunov. And you could only imagine how hard-hitting a match between Cesaro, probably the strongest guy pound for pound in WWE, going against the big man, Walter.
They're
in for a treat. That's all I can say. If I lived there, I'm buying a ticket just to see that match.
Cesaro may be the most underutilized wrestler in all time of WWE.
Another ROH guy, by the way.
Oh, I know.
One of many.
Claudio Castiglione, is that what he was called?
Close enough.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that he got a little bit of a push this year, he got a WrestleMania win against Seth Rollins, that he got the championship at WrestleMania Backlash against Roman Reigns, and then he just dropped off the face of the earth again.
Yeah, it's stunning. It's stunning what they've done with him. But there was he did an interview, and give me a second.
Is this the second of the two?
This is the second of the two things. So I want to get your reaction, and because I had some thoughts about what he was talking about, because they were talking about how chaotic things are on doing the WWE broadcast. He was
doing a live talking, the show, whether it be SmackDown or Raw,
and all the late changes and everything else. He was talking to the guys at Into the Danger Zone. I'm taking this off Cultaholic. He said, it's fun. It's the driving force. I talk with Woods. The more chaos it is, the more exciting it gets. How good am I? Time gets cut. This gets changed. That gets changed. There's no net. And that's weirdly what makes it fun sometimes. But it's also that's what makes me critical and dissected and want to be better. It's all about doing the best with what you're given. So here's my issue. As we were talking about Charlotte and everything with creative there, we had controversy that about Bray Wyatt, where he got thrown under the bus by some anonymous idiot WWE employee saying that, you know, he was difficult. Anybody would have fired him. And of course he fired back and said, well, I can't wait to
shove it up here.
You know, that's
collective rears.
Yeah. You know, that's Pritchard and Lauren Ice's opinion. But it just goes to show when you have a guy like Cesaro saying, oh, you know, it's really crazy back there. But, you know, that's kind of what makes it fun. But I'm sitting there thinking to myself, self, wouldn't it be great if it wasn't chaotic back there? If you had a plan, if you weren't tearing up three scripts in a row during the day and everybody could be on the same page for weeks at a time, as opposed to throwing the dartboard.
But then it wouldn't be WWE, and there's only one reason and one reason only, and it's two words that make it this way. Those two words are Vincent McMahon. I could say three. Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
You're in the Kennedy.
Yeah, so Vincent Kennedy McMahon. And he's the guy that changes everything last minute all the time. And it's funny because even changes his own ideas. And he's like the only guy that finds things hilarious. Like the whole Katie Vick thing, he found absolutely hilarious. And I hate to harken back to, you know, early 2000s, but the reason why that whole thing ran is because he thought it was hilarious. He thought it was hilarious that Mae Young would give birth to a hand. Nobody else thought it was funny except for Vince McMahon. So it ran because it was Vince McMahon's decision.
It just makes you think how good the product could be
if they had someone in charge who knew what they were doing.
Weren't having that nightmarish, oh my God, what's going on today? Oh, wait, wrestling this guy. No, I got to do this. Oh, wait, no, I'm doing
but
this.
You don't hear about it during the Attitude Era, but wasn't it similar during the Attitude Era?
Oh, it's been that way for a long, long time.
Right, but the Attitude Era was when we were at its peak. I mean, there was no higher point in the WWE than the Attitude Era. So, has McMahon changed that much that he's, or is it always that he was changing it day of show?
He's been known to do that for a long time.
But I think it's worse now because at least back then they still had a long-term plan of where they wanted to go with care. Now you're right. They draft people to different shows and don't know what to do with their championship belts. Are you kidding?
Yeah. It's just it makes you wonder and you feel bad for a guy like Cesaro because he's one of those people
who gets lost in the shuffle.
That gets caught in that crossfire all the time and he's incredibly talented. And it's got to be frustrating for everybody back in the back. You know, I whoa, squeaker there.
Hey, wow. Ooh, sorry. My bad.
It's got to be frustrating for everybody that's working at WWE to have to deal with that week in, week out, not knowing what's going on. You know,
and the people who hate it, I think, are the ones who are saying, I'd love to go to AEW because I get a creative freedom. I will be listened to, and the plan won't change once I've said this is what's going to happen. They say yes.
Yeah. It'd be nice. So I just thought that was a really interesting comment.
It really is. But at the same time, it's a very positive comment. You know what I mean? And I don't know if he's trying to do it to toe the company line or he's trying to do it because that's how he really feels.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, that didn't sound like towing the company line too much.
Well, I mean, he said that's what makes it great. That's why I love it. That, yada, yada, yada. So that's towing the company line. He's not saying anything negative about WWE going, oh, my God, it's just miserable there trying to figure out what the heck's going to go on from minute to minute.
Yep. Well, speaking of throwing WWE under the bus, did you hear what Moose said on Impact?
I did not hear what Moose said on
Impact. The new Impact World Champion, former Ring of Honor guy as well. Throw that out there.
Seems like most guys are former Ring of Honor guys at some point.
Do some digging. If you don't know about Ring of Honor.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they've had everybody go through there.
So Moose comes out.
Moose.
Yeah,
the Moose outside. They should have told you we were closed.
No.
That's from Vacation.
Moose, Moose, Moose. Yes, we all know where that's from.
So. Wally World.
Oh, my God. In his promo, repeating, you know, coming out and introducing himself as the world champion, said, "Are you ready?
Oh, good.
How many pot shots were thrown in this promo? It doesn't matter how elite you are.
One.
It doesn't matter what tribe you're chief to.
Two.
It doesn't matter if you're the boss.
Three.
The man.
Four.
Hell, you can add a new day to the week.
Five.
I'm still the greatest champion in all of professional wrestling."
Woo! Five pot shots in like 30 seconds.
That is throwing some shade, baby.
I don't know why he's bothering throwing shade at the women, though. Like, really? You don't need to throw shade.
He's hitting everybody.
He did.
That was.
But I will tell you this right now, and this isn't even a WWE bias. I still think right now the best wrestler on the planet is Roman Reigns.
Moose, and you know, you're never going to get to say that Moose is number one right now, but Moose is good.
Oh, I have no doubt.
And I really do appreciate the fact that he was willing to step up and say something like that. That's a gutsy promo to put out there.
Very.
Very gutsy promo.
Especially, I mean, if AEW puts it out, I think that you hear a lot more about it than Impact putting it out, because Impact, you know, it's Impact. But at the same time, it's still a very gutsy promo.
Yeah, so good for Moose. Lay it down for the Impact guys.
But I guarantee you that neither AEW or WWE respond to it.
No. Nobody's going to say a word.
No, but if AEW or WWE had made that promo, the other one would respond to it. That's my point.
Yeah. So
they're going to, as they say, they're going to no-sell it.
Yeah. That no-selling stuff, I'll tell you, gets you in trouble sometimes. I also wanted to, let's see, where are we going to go from here? Oh, the main event on Dynamite.
All right. Gimme. That's what I like. It's Dynamite. It's Jermaine Jackson.
You may not have any more Mountain Dew before the show. You may not. By the way, this is Mark Hoke Show on KDWN 101.5 FM, 720 AM, the Talk of Las Vegas. I'm Mark Hoke.
This is the number one show, and we have the ratings to prove it.
Yes, we do, actually. I can't say what I'm saying because we were third overall in the ratings in the last ring, but like all of Las Vegas in the time slot, everywhere. It's amazing. But
because you have a face for radio.
Yeah, I am one sexy son of a gun. The main event on Dynamite this week. No, you can't do that twice. Cut his mic. My ear does that again. Bam. Pot down.
Okay, no more Jermaine Jackson, I promise.
Thank you, Jiminy Christmas. We had a kind of a comedy / serious match. It was a mix where the Elite came out as the Ghostbusters, had a little Ghostbuster-y theme as well, and then they were taking on the Dark Order, who were all in different costumes.
Isn't the whole idea of the Dark Order to be scary enough that they shouldn't have to come out in costumes?
Well, you would think
they are the Dark Order after all.
The proton packs got used as weapons.
Is Bray Wyatt going to come out as the new number one?
We can get to that. Let me talk about this match first.
Okay, go ahead.
They had the Stave Puff Marshmallow Man out with him, who ended up being Handman Adam Page,
who ended up being Jim Ross.
Caused the chaos. Jim Ross was like not wanting to call this match. He was
no, disgusted. Of course not. Yeah.
But there was some cool stuff they did in the match. But a lot of people are giving AEW flack because it was such a cornball kind of thing.
It sounds very WWE-esque.
It was.
And that's
it was way better than the Trick or Treat match. Way better. But John Silver gets the pinfall on that. But what are your thoughts about matches like that? You know, especially with AEW.
Honestly, I hate them. The whole idea, I get it. You're trying to capture the theme of whatever, whether it's Christmas time and you have the street fight on 34th Street or whatever, which WWE always does. And I hate those matches too. You don't need to go over the top of these gimmicks and be that gimmicky. It just looks bad, and it makes them look stupid.
Well, the one thing, you know, and you had some Young Bucks spotty type stuff in there.
Of course you did.
But you kind of did get, when Hangman came out, ended up being the Stave Puff Marshmallow Man, they had the thing with Brandon Cutler was in a horse costume. They brought him out, and they thought it was Paige, and it wasn't. And, you know, then Paige gets in the ring and, you know, decimates everybody. It did advance the
story,
the Page Omega story going into full gear a little bit. I didn't have that much of a problem with it. Just because of the way they did it.
But in general, I don't like those gimmicky matches.
No, I hate them, generally.
They will have one. WWE, you know, is going to have one around Thanksgiving time because they always do. They have the stupid food fight or whatever. Yeah. They're going to have one around Christmas. Like I said, it's going to be a street fight on 34th Street or whatever. Something to that effect. And it's always the same. And it's like, guys, it's not totally unnecessary. I don't need to see you hitting each other with giant candy canes.
No, we do not. You know, what was the one with the... Elias did the Symphony of Destruction.
Symphony of Destruction match.
It would have been fun to. The only good part about
any of the Symphony of Destruction matches was watching Braun Strowman pick up that giant base and use that as a weapon.
Yeah, that was cool
because that thing was huge.
Yeah, so a little controversy over that one, but overall,
where is Elias?
I don't know. He's walking somewhere.
No, he's not. We're no longer supposed to be walking with Elias.
Well, but he's still walking.
I would hope so.
It's somewhere. Who knows? But
sorry.
some other matches that were on TV. The Raw salvaged the episode.
The ladder match was absolutely amazing. It was a throwback to the old days of Raw when Raw was great. It was an amazing match, and congratulations to Seth Rollins against Big E will be a very interesting battle.
Yes, it will. When it happens, well, if it's Big E,
it's gonna be Big E. Because you got to have Big E, Roman Reigns, which I think is interesting enough for Survivor Series.
See, but you know, and you're going to get me off on a tangent about what they're doing at Survivor Series with those kind of matches because you're weakening a champion. Whoever loses is now second rate.
I get you. I prefer it to be just. And I saw someone suggest this that you should do a 5-man elimination team like the old school ways. But the winning brand gets the number 30 entrant in the Royal Rumble. The losing brand gets the number 1 entrant in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. Yeah, there's got to be, when they do the brand supremacy match, there's got to be a better stipulation other than, we beat you.
Exactly.
There's got to be something cool.
Because after Survivor Series, you know, they keep counting during the event. They go, you know, it's 3-2 Raw right now. But afterwards, you never hear anything about it.
Right. It's stupid. They've ruined Survivor Series.
They have, because the idea behind Survivor Series was great. But
maybe,
now it's...
Maybe one of the Ring of Honor guys can be the gobbledygooker.
Good Lord. But I told you, the only time Survivor Series recently has been great is when they added NXT and made it a triple threat.
Yeah. So, we'll see how Survivor Series goes. But the Bryan Danielson-Eddie Kingston match pretty much stole the show this week. I don't know what... what salve that Mr. Danielson is going to have to put on his chest after these matches. But Eddie Kingston was popping blood vessels on his chest. Like, I mean, that is one of the most brutal, wounding, pounding to a chest I've ever seen.
And as per our prediction, who won the match?
Yeah, well, we knew that was coming.
So now, the final set yet?
Not yet. Mox is wrestling Orange Cassidy.
So it's set. It's Bryan Danielson and Mox.
Probably.
It's probably Bryan Danielson and Mox.
Probably. But yeah, Mox messed up 10, man.
But you haven't talked. You've buried the lead so far from the week in wrestling. Shotzi Blackheart's heel turn.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
I almost did it with a straight face.
Yeah, you're a funny guy. But on the ladies' side, you know, Abaddon wrestled a match with Britt Baker. That woman is scary.
Who, Abaddon?
Yeah. She is scary. She did the thumbtack. She bit Britt Baker when she tried to do the, you know, her finishing move. I mean, Jiminy Christmas.
Oh, you got to put your hand near someone's mouth. That's what's going to happen.
She is just creepy. What a great character. I haven't really seen too much of Abaddon, to be honest with you. But that match, I think she really got over in that. And people are going to be wanting to see more of her after that one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
How long before Charlotte Flair is in AEW?
Who knows?
See, I think if I know Vince McMahon, I don't know how. I think Charlotte's contract runs for the next year, at least a couple of years.
I think she's a couple years. So.
But it wouldn't surprise me to see having her just sit at home.
Yeah, and
sort
of
a punishment.
Yeah, they did punish her this week. She was doing no publicity for WWE. She had a bunch of appearances set up. They did have her wrestle, obviously. We had the heel turn with Shotzi Blackheart on there, which...
And then afterwards, she applauded Shotzi for turning on Sasha Banks.
Of course. But that was just...
So is that as much of a heel turn for Shotzi as it was a boost for the face turn of Sasha? Because Sasha's been a heel, and now all of a sudden she's facing it.
I think Shotzi got caught in the middle on that. I don't understand why you haven't done really anything with her, and all of a sudden she's in the ring with Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense either.
You know, just once again, it's the WWE not doing that slow build like they should.
Well, that's why it worked with Roman Reigns, because it was a slow build to where he became. I mean, it was a bad build because they had him a face and no one wanted him. And then his return, all of a sudden, he's his heel. And his character, like I said, and Paul Heyman, again, has made the show worth watching. Because it wasn't even an in-ring segment. It was the backstage segment when she was talking about the $1 million fine set to Brock Lesnar. And Heyman almost burst out, Brock, and, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah, so... Yeah, just some interesting stuff going on. A little bit of fallout. One more thing I wanted to mention, too, was the Cody Rhodes promo. And
I did not get to see that.
He came out and really was saying, you know, because the storyline, it was you lost your focus. Arn Anderson told him you lost your focus. You know, this is why you're losing to Malakai Black. Cody had then beat Malakai Black on TV, came out and did this promo that said, you know, and of course he's been getting booed like crazy, even though he doesn't want to go heel, and he said as much in the promo. You know, I'm not turning my back on the fans. I'm not going to break my promise about wrestling for the title. All this stuff. I love all of you. You know, my dad, you know, was such a great part of this business, and you know, I want to keep that legacy going. And I'm sorry if I did anything to
upset
to
you,
push you away.
Okay.
And
I'm
sitting there like, I almost got tear in my eye because, you know, I'm kind of a Dusty Rhodes guy. And I was like, wow. You know, it was storyline, but it also really crossed into reality.
But it wasn't hard times type as good promo, right?
Not quite, but it was pretty good. It was pretty good. But, you know, people were still booing him a little bit. But it was something to see. And Cody's in a weird spot right now. Really weird spot on.
Well, he's got that whole Roads to the Top show, which kind of makes you dislike, to be honest with you, make you dislike him even more, because all of a sudden he becomes bigger than the wrestling program.
Well, and he's doing that. He's doing, you know, the Big Show, you know, the talent competition show,
right,
on TBS as well.
Not the Big Show, but Big Show. No, I'm making a reference to Paul White.
And I think it kind of pulled. It may have pulled him away a little bit. And, of course, he was having a baby, too. And, you know, maybe...
Well, he wasn't having a baby, but...
Well...
Brandy was having a baby.
They...
Thank you. If he was having a baby, it would be huge news.
And I think he may... You know, maybe he lost his focus a little bit. You know? And the fans didn't like it. You know, fans didn't like him going Hollywood, so...
Fans are fickle. I mean, we know that. You know, when, again, going back to Roman Reigns, when they were trying to put him over, they couldn't even bring The Rock out to have him go over. They brought The Rock out, and The Rock got booed.
Yeah.
Which you would never see now. I mean, you thought you would never see, and it was so surreal to see that happen.
Yeah, so we'll see what direction Cody takes. Last thing I wanted to really get into, Dark Side of the Ring wrapped up with the steroid trial. You know, the whole situation with Vince McMahon the government trying to get him on distributing steroids to his wrestlers. And interesting episode. Not as interesting as the Plane Ride from Hell episode.
Did you learn anything from it?
You know what I learned from that? The United States government butchered that case. That's one thing that I learned. It was lame and stupid.
Absolutely.
But the other thing I learned is don't mess with WWE's attorney.
No, he's a bad MF.
Dude
is a bad MF-er.
He, I can tell you that even though I wouldn't have the money, if I needed to hire one attorney at this point to save my life, there's my man. Don't mess with him.
It
was impressive, and it was impressive they got him on the show, too.
So. I think the government was pretty much set up to fail in that whole thing because they were never going to take down McMahon. It wasn't going to happen.
No, it was a ridiculous case. And,
yeah,
you know, that happened with 93. You know, so I was just coming out of college, and you know, I am a wrestling fan, obviously, but you know, we didn't have the internet and all the information available to us, so it was just mostly the news articles and everything.
It was also a really weird time in wrestling early 90s.
Yeah.
WWE was bad, WCW was bad. There was no good product out there at that time.
Yeah, so it was but it was definitely worth a watch if you haven't seen it. And then I watched the XPW. I hadn't watched that episode, and wow, what a nightmare that place was. Oh my God! Just go watch Dark Side of the Ring.
The other Dark Side of the Ring. But there was another one about a different extreme organization.
Yeah, the XPW one.
No, the one in New Japan was the other one. Yeah, right. How do those two compare?
XPW was, well, considering they were doing pornos and all that stuff along with promoting wrestling. Yeah. It was.
I need to watch more XPW.
No, they gone.
I can imagine, just like the guy with the guy with his boots on. There was one the Dark Side of the Ring episode, the cowboy guy who was down in Florida.
Herb Abrams.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it might have been worse than that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Give it a watch, but. Great job on the season for the Dark Side of the Ring guys. I want to congratulate them.
I'm sure they're going to come back. I certainly hope so.
Yeah, I hope they find some more good stories to
tell. There are a ton of stories to tell.
Yep. So there you go. Well, another great show, by the way.
Of course they are. They're all great.
Yeah.
But most importantly, we had Joe DeFalco back.
Yeah, and once again, you know, get down and go to FSWVegas.com and check out Joe's promotion. Some great shows coming up. They do a wonderful job here in Las Vegas. If you want to,
I gotta get down. I just gotta get down there so I can see what's going on in the building itself.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, of course, got a training academy down there and everything. So,
yeah, what do you think? Could I be a wrestler?
No,
the fish.
No, I think Mike could be. I'm just waiting for Mike to play the music so we can get out of here.
There we go. Hey, look at that.
Mike's new. It's all good.
He's fantastic though. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's gonna get me days off. Thank God.
We all say that.
Yeah. Thanks. Anyway, hey, follow us on Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show, Twitter.
At The Fish 1969.
Mark Hoke Show. Yep, Fish and FSW Vegas. And, of course, markhokeshow.podbean.com for all of our podcasts. Up on YouTube as well. We're everywhere, man.
All you people in Maldivia, keep downloading.
Yeah, please do. So thanks for joining us, everybody, on KDWN Talk of Las Vegas. We'll see you, probably again next Saturday night and next week. Have a good one.
Bye.